You saw in the bulletin my subject tonight is how to listen to preaching. How to listen to preaching. And, you know, there's some churches, I think, that make a mistake that call their services worship services. If you go back and you study that word worship, it means directing your love toward God. And literally it means, if you go back and study the root word of that word worship, it means a dog licking the hand of its master. Just showing its love and appreciation to its master. And when we worship God, that's what we should do. We should direct our love toward him. We should tell him how much we love him. And I would submit to you that most worship like that, the true worship is done in private. Now, people worship when they come to services like we have on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. But for the most part, they're not worship services. They're preaching services. Okay, and again, people come and sometimes they, as part of the worship service or part of the service, they direct their love toward God. I would say that some people come to preaching services and they might not do that. I mean, they may do it throughout the week. And again, I think you can worship God, direct your love toward him, and we ought to, like Brother Leonard prayed when he was praying for the Jews a moment ago. I mean, when we keep the cross on our mind. It ought to be easy for us to worship God and every day tell him that we love him. My point is that when we come here on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night, we have preaching services. Those of you that have been coming for a while or for a long time know that we don't ever cancel preaching. We have cantatas, but we preach. And we have programs, but we preach. And you won't come on a Sunday morning or a Sunday night or a Wednesday night and not get some kind of preaching. Even we had our party last night, or Friday night, Brother Brian preached to the kids. And he did I thought, I told Brother Leonard when we were going home, I thought he did a good job. He compared how Halloween and some of the things we do at Halloween, how they compare with us coming to the Lord and having that relationship with him. And so everything we do ought to be built around preaching. And preaching has two purposes. And we read about those in those verses that we read from 1 Corinthians chapter 1. First of all, preaching has a purpose to save the sinner, to get after the sinner, to get the sinner to come to Jesus Christ. It says in verse 21 there, and we read it, "It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe." And I sort of believe that in every message that preached, there ought to be salvation in it. I mean, it may not be the main theme. A lot of times it is. And I've had people tell me, I've had visitors come and say, you know, you need to be an evangelist. And I said, why? Because they said, all you ever do is preach salvation. And, a pastor ought to be more practical and preach other kind of messages. And I said, well, I just preach what the Lord tells me to preach. And if he tells me to preach salvation, I'm going to preach salvation. I'm going to try to get it into every message that there is. I'm going to tell people that they're sinners, there's a penalty for sin, and that when Christ went to the cross, he paid our penalty. And if we'll trust him, he'll save us. So the first purpose of preaching is to get after sinners, to get them to come to Christ. And then the second purpose of preaching is to strengthen the saint, to get after saints and to give them more strength. It says there in verse 18, listen to what it says. "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God." Now just stop. He's saying to the people that are already saved, the preaching of the cross is to them the power of God. And when we as Christians are reminded about the cross and the price that was paid for our salvation, it helps us surrender more and more of ourselves to the Holy Spirit. And as we surrender more and more of ourselves to the Holy Spirit, we get more power. We don't get power, as these verses talked about, from the wisdom of the world. The wisdom of the world and the strength of the world means nothing. We get our power from this book and from the preaching of this book. That's where our power comes from. Because again, as we're reminded of the cross, we're more apt to surrender more and more of ourselves to the Holy Spirit. And so, if preaching is so important, and it is, if it's so important, how do I get more out of it? Okay? So tonight, I'm going to be very, very practical. Okay? Now, I'll just tell you before I start, I don't mean to step on anybody's toes. Okay? I'm not preaching at anybody. I never do. Try not to. And for the most part, I don't. Don't preach at anybody. But I'm just going to give you some practical suggestions tonight about how to listen to preaching. And I've got 15 statements. So, you know, I only usually have 3 points to my sermon, so you are getting the equivalent of 5 sermons tonight, okay? And I know I only got 20 minutes, and so I'm going to go fast. Don't worry about it. I know what time it is, and I'll get you out of here pretty close to on time, if not on time. All right, so here's the 15 things I want to tell you. How to listen to preaching. Number one, begin your preparation the night before. Begin your preparation to hear preaching on Saturday night. Test the things that you do on Saturday night with this test. Is what I'm about to do, will it get my heart and my mind ready for preaching? If what I'm about to do on Saturday night, before I go to bed, or how I'm going to spend Saturday night, will that get my heart and my mind ready to hear preaching tomorrow? And so, if you're going to go to a party on Saturday night, ask the question, is going to this party going to get my heart and my mind ready for preaching? If you're going to go see a movie or watch a video, is watching this movie or watching this video, is that going to get my heart ready for preaching in the morning? If you're going to play a game or read a book or listen to music or watch TV, whatever it is you do on Saturday night, ask yourself this question, is what I'm about to do, will that get my heart and my mind ready for preaching tomorrow? Now, still on point number one, your preparations begin the night before. Go to bed early rather than later. You know what the funny thing is? Most people go to bed later on Saturday night than they do any other night of the week. And you know what we say when we do that? We're saying that what we do on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday is more important than what we do on Sunday. Now, I may have a prejudiced view, but I think what goes on in this place on Sunday is more important than anything else we do the rest of the week. I believe that when I was working. I believe it when I'm retired. I just believe what goes on in this place Sunday morning and Sunday night when we open the Word of God and hear it preach, either in here, back in junior church, or in the nurseries and the toddlers. I know we don't believe in women preachers, but they teach the Bible, and that's the same thing as preaching. But I believe what goes on in this place is more important than what goes on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. And when we get ready for it, our preparation begins on Saturday night, and we ought to make sure that we get enough sleep. I mean, I've known people that come in and close their eyes during the announcement. They open up during the invitation. I talked to them and said, well, I was meditating on your message. Yeah, I know, that's why you were drooling. Just teasing. I would never be that mean. But yeah. But you need to be rested. And you need to have an alert mind. And we need to say by our actions on Saturday night that preaching is important. Now, let me give you another suggestion. I'm still under point number one. Lay out your clothes for Sunday. Plan what you're going to have for breakfast. Don't get up on Sunday morning and fuss about what you're going to wear, and I may be talking to the kids here tonight, but to the adults too. Don't get up on Sunday morning and fuss about what you're going to wear. Don't get up Sunday morning and fuss about what you're going to have for breakfast. That'll get you out. I mean, that'll make it harder for you to hear preaching when you come to church. Get all that stuff settled on Saturday night. Have it all planned out. Before you go to bed, read some of the Bible. Pick out a passage. Read the 23rd Psalm. Read the first Psalm. Read a chapter from Proverbs. Just get into the Bible and ask the Lord before you go to bed to prepare your mind to hear preaching. When you get up, don't turn on the news. Say, I want to know what happened. Look, the world's not going to end if you don't know what's happening before you come to church on Sunday morning. Just don't turn on the news. Don't turn on the TV. Don't let the kids turn on a cartoon. If you're going to turn something on, turn on some Christian music. I can remember when I was growing up, Sunday morning we always listened to the Renfro Valley. My dad was from Kentucky, and the Renfrew Valley came from Kentucky. It's a bunch of hillbillies singing Christian music. And I don't think my mom liked it very much. She was a hillbilly from Arkansas. But every Sunday morning, when we were eating breakfast, getting ready to go to church, we listened to the singers from the Renfrew Valley. And I think it got us ready for preaching. Got us ready for preaching. When you get up on, and again, I'm still on point number one, and don't worry about it. I know point number one is my longest point, so don't worry about the time. When you get up on Sunday morning, never debate about whether you're going to go to church or not. Never debate about whether you're going to go come to Sunday school or not. Just get up and come. I mean, we need to make it almost a habit where we get up and not only a habit, but where we look forward to it. I think we ought to, you know, when we come to church, it ought to be like getting up and going on vacation. You know how you get excited when you get up and you're going on vacation? Just, you know, you're looking forward to it and you're excited about it. I think it would please the Lord if we got up on every Sunday morning and felt that same way about coming to church. I get to go to God's house. I get to fellowship with God's people. I get to hear from God. And so get up and get excited about coming. Don't ask the question, are we going or not? Don't let the kids ask the question, are we going or not? Teach them that's not a question you ask on Sunday morning, that we're going. They get up, it's Sunday, they know where we're headed. We're headed to church. And again, be happy and excited about it. You know, if you're down in the dumps, other people that are around you are going to be down in the dumps too. You know, if you get up on Sunday morning and you're grouchy, there's a good chance you're going to make your spouse grouchy. If you get up on Sunday morning and you're grouchy, there's a good chance your kids are going to be grouchy. I mean, they will reflect our attitudes. And so when you get up on Sunday morning, look forward to coming, have a good attitude, smile. Just smile. You know, sometimes we come to church, it looks like we're coming to a funeral. I had some music on this morning before everybody comes in. It was a CD that we ordered for invitation songs. Adam says, he comes in, he says, did somebody die? I said, no. He said, well, don't play that. Play something else. So we went up and we changed the music around because I want when people to come in to be excited about coming to this place. I want them to smile. I want them to look forward about what's going to happen. And so, again, our preparation begins on Saturday night. All right, on Saturday night. And I know this is very, very practical, very, very simple. But you cannot stay up till 3 o'clock in the morning and come to church the next morning and get much out of it. You are too tired. In most cases, if you stay up till 3 o'clock, you won't make it. You won't make it. So just make your preparations beginning on Saturday night. All right, number two. And I know you're all worried now because I got 14 points to go and I've got 12 minutes. But don't worry. Number two. Come prepared to listen. Come prepared to listen. If you got a cough, bring a cough drop. Make sure you got your hearing aid in. Make sure you got the batteries up. Make sure you got the batteries. You know, you've changed the batteries. Make sure that you can hear. Sit on the edge of your seat. I mean, just do everything you can to listen. If you can't hear in the back, don't sit in the back. Moved up here like Brother Nick did. He couldn't hear in the back, so he moved right up here in the front. Right, Angie? Yeah. But no, that's why. If you can't hear in the back, move to the front. So come prepared to listen. Number three, listen with your eyes as well as your ears. If I see that your eyes are open, I have some hope that your ears are open. But if I look back there and see your eyes closed, I have little hope that your ears are open. All right? So keep your eyes open. You know, ladies, you know what I'm talking about. You know, you're sitting at the breakfast table and your husband has the newspaper up in front of him and you're talking to him. And he's behind it going, And so you put him to the test. You say, honey, I'm going out today and I'm going to spend $2,500 on a new wardrobe. And she knows you're not listening then. So keep your eyes open. and listen with your eyes as well as your ears. Number four, set where you can see and hear well. You know, I look at who's sitting on the back row. I bet if we had chairs out in the vestibule, they'd be sitting out in the vestibule. I'm picking on them. Back row Baptist, that's right. But listen, there's a lot of things that happen between the back row and the front row. You see, Laura and Nick and Angie and Leonard, they can't see anything that goes on behind them. But Leonard and Larry and all those other guys that are sitting back there, they can see everything that goes on in front of them. And so if you're easily distracted, don't sit in the back. Sit in the front where you can see and hear. All right, number five, understand that preaching is a tool God has chosen to explain his word. In Titus chapter 1, verse 3, but hath in due times manifested or made known his word through preaching. If a preacher doesn't stay in this book, I think you ought to get a new preacher. This book ought to be the subject of every sermon. This book ought to be the subject of everything that goes on in a church. I believe in preaching the Bible. I don't believe in giving book reports. I don't believe in current events reports. I don't believe in any other kind of reports. I believe in Bible reports. I believe in staying in this book and preaching this book. And this book is all we need. I mean, it's all things encompassed in it. And everything that we need to live our Christian life, we can find in this book. We don't need any other books. We can live in this book. So, preaching is a tool that God has chosen to explain his word. Number six, expect God to speak to you. Every time you come into this place, expect to hear from God. Expect that you're going to hear something from him. People go out and they say, hey, preacher, that was a good sermon. I always try to say, it wasn't me. I'm just the voice. The message comes from God. And he's the one that speaks to us. And every time when we come into this place, we ought to come with the expectation that God is going to give me something this morning, or he's going to give me something tonight that I need for my life, that I need. It's easy for us to say, yep, what preacher's preaching tonight, that's what Martha needs. Or it's easy for us to say, well, that's what Betty needs. Oh, Betty sure needs that. It's easier for us to say that. Well, listen, God's given us what we need. As individuals. Listen, God knew you were going to be here. He planned for you to be here. And the Holy Spirit, as I speak, is speaking to you. And the Holy Spirit is working in your life. And so every time we come, that can happen. Every time we come, that can happen. And so when we come, we ought to expect, boy, I'm going to go here preaching tonight, and I'm going to hear from God. I don't know what it is. I don't know what he's going to do, but I know he's going to do something. I know I'm going to hear from him tonight. And so expect him to speak to you. Number seven, most Christians need small adjustments, not major corrections each week. I mentioned this in Sunday school this morning. As we live our Christian life, most of us don't need to make big corrections. There's some people that do, but most of us don't. We just need to make little tiny adjustments. I mentioned again in open assembly in Sunday school, it's like driving your car. I mean, if you're going down a road, you don't need, and it's a straight road, you don't need to make the big turns. I mean, if you're turning the corner, Laura, don't look at me like that. I've seen you drive. But you don't need to make the big turns if you're going down a straight road. You just need to make the tiny adjustments just to keep it within in the lines. We're on that straight and narrow path that leads to glory. And as God speaks to us Sunday morning and Sunday night through his word, through preaching, he'll tell us about those tiny adjustments that we need to make. Just turn it a little bit this way. Turn a little bit this way. And the Holy Spirit does that to us. And again, if we'll listen, he'll tell us those adjustments that we need to make. Number eight, when the Holy Spirit speaks to you, and when the Holy Spirit tells you to do something, go ahead and do it. Just go ahead and do it. I found it's good if the Holy Spirit tells you to do something to come to the altar and say, Holy Spirit, I heard you. I understand what you want me to do, and I'm going to do it. Just come and make a promise to him. You don't have to talk to me. You can just come and kneel at the altar and say, hey, I got it. I heard it. I'm going to be obedient. I'm going to promise with your help that I'm going to do it. Seal it at the altar. Number nine, when you feel like your heart is getting cold and your heart is getting hard and you're not being moved and you go service after service after service with that cold heartedness, come and spend some time at the altar. Come and tell the Holy Spirit, hey, I've missed some, I must have missed something. I've been here for the past 4 weeks and you haven't moved on me. It must be me. It's not you. I know it's not you, Holy Spirit. And so I'm coming. I'm laying myself out here at the altar. I'm trying to get out of my heart and out of my mind and out of my life all the things that would keep you from speaking to me. And I want you to just touch me and to let me feel your presence and just come and ask him to do that. Then number 10, if the Holy Spirit's not moving you and you don't feel cold-hearted, number 10, I'd set up a schedule to every so often I just come and kneel at the altar and pray. By schedule. You say, preacher, I don't think you should do that. Why not? If the Holy Spirit's not speaking to you and you won't come because you're cold-hearted, just put it on your schedule. Hey, it's the third Sunday night. I'm going to go to the altar and pray. Holy Spirit didn't do anything for me. Maybe it's me. It's not him. Maybe it's me. I'm just going to come and I'm going to kneel at the altar and I'm going to give him an opportunity to talk to me. You say, preacher, you like people to come to the altar? Yeah, I do. I don't count them. We don't report it as a statistic. But I like to see people come to the altar and spend time in prayer at the altar. We need to do it, every single one of us. You say, well, I'm not that kind. Yes, you are. Don't give me that. You're not that kind. Come on. Yes, you are. What's wrong with coming and getting on your knees before a holy God? And if nothing else, telling them how much you love them. Like these little kids saying tonight, tell them how much you appreciate them. Tell the Holy Spirit how much of a comfort he is. What's wrong with that? Nothing. 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 So, come, for any other reason, come by schedule. Number 11, try to capsulize or get two or three things, or maybe even just one thing from the sermon. A phrase, an illustration. I hope a lot of people walked away this morning with just the last part of that verse ringing in their ears. What am I that I can withstand God? What am I that I can withstand God? You don't have to remember any of the points. Just that one verse, that last part of that verse. What am I? Who am I that I can withstand God? And so try to get a phrase or get a point or get one or two things that you can capsulize the sermon in. Number 12, talk about it on the way home. I can remember when we were kids, my dad would always test us. Say, what book did the preacher preach out of tonight? What did he talk about? What character did he mention tonight? I think that's good. I think that's what we ought to do. We ought to put him to the, and say, well, it's just me and my spouse. Okay, put her to the test. Men, you're the leader. Put her to the test. That way she won't test you. See how much you were not listening. What did the preacher preach about tonight? What book was he in? What did he talk about? Just talk about it on the way home. Number 13, tell somebody about it the next day. Next day, what are you doing? Going to work? Going to the store? Whoever you're with? Harry, you're walking with your buddy tomorrow? I know, if it's not raining. Just say, hey, I want to tell you one thing the preacher said yesterday. That'd be good. Just one thing. Just pick out one thing and share it with somebody. Number 14, take your Bible. And if you don't want to mark in your Bible, I understand that. I have some Bibles I mark in. I have some Bibles I don't mark in. I know, but Brother John does this because whenever I preach a sermon the second time, he always comes and says, hey, preacher, you preached that one 4.5 years ago on this date. Because what he does is he writes right in his Bible the date of when I've preached from that passage of Scripture. And again, if you're one to mark in your Bible, I think that would be a good thing to do. And then number 15, last point, we've got 2 minutes, so we're going to get out right on time. Expect the Holy Spirit to remind you of the truth that comes from preaching when you need it. You see, the things that we get from preaching, we may not need that day, or we might not need the next day, or we might not need the next week. But we just need to picture ourselves like little squirrels. And when we come in this place, we're like gathering acorns, and we're storing them. And at some point in the future, God will say, hey, you remember that acorn you got 3 or 4 months ago? You need to bring that back out to the front now and think about that, because that's exactly what you need for this situation. That's exactly what you need today. And the Holy Spirit will do that. Now, we can't do it if we don't listen, if we don't store it away. But if we listen and store it away, he's able to say, hey, you remember that sermon that you didn't think applied to you that the preacher preached 6 months ago? It now applies to you. And now you need that truth. So pull it out and use it. Pull it out and use it. And again, I think every time we come to this place, God will give us something. Something. So every time we come. I don't think we'll ever walk. I mean, I know we do sometimes. We walk away and say, well, I didn't get nothing out of that sermon. Sometimes I go home and feel like that, Nick. I got nothing out of that sermon. No, I'm not. but we don't know. We may not need it that day, and we don't need it that day. We may say, well, that wasn't for me. But God knows. He knows what's coming. He knows what's coming next week and the week after and next month and the month after that. He knows. And so don't ever think that you'll waste time listening to preaching, because God's got a purpose for it. He uses it to get after sinners, and he uses it to strengthen the saints. Now, I think most of us here tonight are saved. Most of us know Jesus as our Savior. But if you're not, you listen to me, you're a sinner. There's a penalty for sin. Jesus paid that penalty. If you'll come and ask him tonight, he'll save you. Come just like you are. Don't have to change anything. Just come just like you are, and he'll save you. Again, most of us are Christians. And if the Holy Spirit's spoken to you about something tonight, just go ahead and say, okay, I heard you. I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for tonight. Thank you for the practicality of this book we call the Bible. Yes, it's filled with your love, and it's filled with just wonderful expressions of that love. But, Father, it also tells us day by day what we need to live. And so I pray tonight that as the Holy Spirit's spoken to us, we have listened and we'll do what the Holy Spirit says. If there's somebody here that needs Jesus, I pray you'll help them to come in this moment and receive him. Speak to our hearts as Christians. Again, help us to be obedient. We'll give Jesus all the glory. For it's in his name we pray. Amen.